Please join with me in the call to worship. Our land is alive with the glory of God. Desert sands hum and gum trees dance. Brown grasses sing and mountains breathe their stillness. All created things add their rhythms of delight, and even stones rap out their praise. Let our voices mingle with those of the earth. May our hearts join the beat of her joy. For our triune God is with us, the source of all being, sound. Christ Jesus walks beside and before us. The Spirit moves within and between us. Blessed be God, our wonder and delight. God of love, source, truth and inspiration, we come to worship you. You are the creator of this land and of all things. Welcome to those of you who are gathered here and online today to worship through the Moriarty Uniting Church. My name's Leonie, and it's with great pleasure that we have such a beautiful view this morning in front of us out the front, so we thank all those people that helped set this up. We hope that those of you who are here have time to join us for a cuppa in the church afterwards, and Jan has something to share with us this morning.
If I use this one, is that okay? I was fortunate enough to visit Rhonda yesterday, and she did ask if I could let you all know how she was going. She's in critical care. She's not able to have visitors. I had a visitor. I was family yesterday, and so I was very fortunate to be there. Her surgery went quite well, but it does look like she'll need to have follow-up surgery on Monday for a pacemaker to be fitted. The bottom of her heart hasn't quite responded well. She did have the valve totally replaced, and they couldn't repair it, and they have done repair work on her heart. So just letting you know that she sends her love and she asks for your prayers, because obviously she's going through quite a hard time at the moment. But she's in good spirits. I sat with her for about an hour and it was lovely. So just to let you know that if you could keep her in your prayers, please.
Our acknowledgement of First Peoples. Today, as we gather to worship, we acknowledge the Kaurna peoples, the first inhabitants of this place from time beyond remembering. We acknowledge that through this land, God nurtured and sustained the first peoples of this country, the Aboriginal and Islander peoples. We honour them for their custodianship of the land on which we gather today. We acknowledge that the first peoples had already encountered the Creator God before the arrival of the colonisers, and the Spirit was already in the land, revealing God to the people through law, custom and ceremony. We acknowledge that the same love and grace that was finally and fully revealed in Jesus Christ sustained the first peoples and gave them particular insights into God's ways. And so we rejoice in the reconciling purposes of God found in the good news about Jesus Christ. God is in the fire of compassion, justice, love, and peace. God is in the land upon which we walk and share with all people. God is in the words of Scripture, revealing God's ways from ancient times to now and beyond. God is in the water, generating life, refreshment, and sustainability. We gather in spirit, each in our own homes and gathered here in this place to give thanks and praise to God. For in God's great love for us, God has reconciled us to God's self through the Son, Jesus Christ. And even as the Apostle Paul rejoices, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. Please join us now in singing, "We're standing here on holy ground, on land your hand has made."
Welcome you here today on this Trinity Sunday and the Sunday of Reconciliation Week. And today we recognise that today is Reconciliation Sunday, the first Sunday of this week, which goes through this week and into next each year. For the past 14 years, the Uniting Church in South Australia has encouraged this celebration as one of the ways of contributing and recognising the covenant between the Uniting Aboriginal Islander Christian Congress and the Uniting Church in Australia. In the foyer, as you came in, you might have seen a book of Indigenous art and some posters about the covenant with the Uniting Aboriginal Islander Christian Congress and the preamble to the Constitution of the Uniting Church. If you haven't seen it, you might want to pause on your way out and have a look at it this morning. Reconciliation Sunday encourages us to participate in one of the major themes of Christian faith, that God is reconciling the world in Christ. We too can contribute to reconciliation by respecting relationships between First and Second Peoples within the congregation and the wider church. So our prayer focus this morning is around reconciliation and Reconciliation Week. Let us pray. God of holy dreaming, great creator spirit, from the dawn of creation you have given your children the good things of Mother Earth. You spoke and the gum tree grew. In the vast desert and dense forest, and in cities at the water's edge, creation sings your praise. Your presence endures as the rock at the heart of the land. When Jesus hung on the tree, you heard the cries of your people and became one with your wounded ones, the convicts, the hunted, the dispossessed. The sunrise of your Son coloured the earth anew and bathed it in glorious hope. In Jesus we have been reconciled to you. to each other and to your whole creation. Lead us on, Great Spirit, as we gather from the four corners of the earth. Enable us to walk together in trust from the hurt and shame of the past into the full day which has dawned in Jesus Christ. Amen. Up on the screen, you'll see two symbols, well, three symbols, actually. The central cross, are we familiar with that, I'm sure. The one on your left is the... Okay, the other side? The Uniting Aboriginal Islander and Christian Congress logo or symbol. What do you see as some similarities? Just a couple speak out. Just cross, hands, circle, red, black and white. Okay. What are some of the similarities? Did I just say that or did I say differences? Or the opposite to what we've just been talking about? There's a dove in the middle of the Uniting Church one. And the one above, yes, in the Islander Congress one, yes.
And then what's the scroll at the top?
Ah, we'll get to that in a moment. You've noticed there's something different at the top, yes? And there's some hands. What are the hands doing?
Shaking
hands. What do you think that might mean?
Reconciliation.
Friendship. Welcome. What? The cross is different in the middle. What do you think is the on the Congress side? What is the cross made up of? Is it a cross or is it something else? Looks like something else to me, but we'll get on to that in a moment. What about the middle cross? The yellow one.
Empty.
I just think it's there to join the two together. It's not actually, there's no logo of both together. When they are both together, there's no middle cross, but this is just in there for the day. So, if we have the next slide, please. So, more focus on this one today. As we've pointed out, there is differences. There are differences. There is a dove and a stick or a scroll at the top. White and black hands shaking. There's a black U and a red half circle over the top. The dove at this point is not red like the Uniting Church. It is a dove that is pointing down, and that is an Aboriginal sign of the Holy Spirit, just like the red dove is in the Uniting Church one. The cross is made up of, the top, the fighting stick. So through the dove is a fighting stick, interesting symbol to use. But the fighting stick is actually to stop people fighting. It's a sign of peace. It's a sign of reconciliation and friendship. The cross itself is made up of two message sticks. The horizontal message stick is to pass the message from one clan to another. And here it symbolizes the word of God as message. A message that God brings. That God brings new life. And the symbol of the hands was first used through the revival period which swept through the northern parts of Australia at the birth of the Uniting Aboriginal Islander Christian Congress. The hands indicate that all people belong to the body of Christ. They're a sign that the Congress does not want separation, nor does it want to practice racial discrimination. And the black U corresponds to the Uniting Church emblem, and the colours are that of the Aboriginal flag. So the symbols remind us, when we drive past McDonald's, I'm sure we know McDonald's because of the arches. We know the uniting church symbol from what we've seen, and now we can understand a bit more today something towards reconciliation and justice by examining the logo. We are going to share in a reading, a psalm. Thank you.
This morning I'm going to read Psalm 23 in an Aboriginal style, written by Uncle Rev Ron Williams, so it should sound familiar. My big fella boss up in the sky is like the father emu. He will always look after me and take me to green grass and lead me to where the water holes are full and fresh all the time. He leads me away from the thick scrub and helps keep me safe from the hunters, dingoes and eagles. At night time, when I am very lonely and sad, I will not be afraid, for my father covers me with his feathers like a father emu. His spear and shield will always protect me. My big fella boss always gives me a good feed in the middle of my enemies. In hot times, he makes me sit down in a cool shade and rest. He gives me plenty of love and care all my life through. Then I will live with my big fella boss like a father emu that cares for his chicks in good country, full of peace and safety forevermore and evermore. Now we're going to sing together the song Filled with the Spirit's Power, with one accord, the infant church confessed its risen Lord.
St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 that all creation is groaning towards reconciliation and to new birth. Romans 8 is a reading set for today, but which we're not reading today. But I thought I would like to reflect on that and ask, well, what is in a name? We try to name God as God, Trinity, the one who lives and moves and breathes in us, between us, among us, and around us. To groan. The Jewish tradition, the name for God is Yahweh. It's not actually spoken aloud, but it's actually breathed. And the pronunciation is when you breathe in, Yahweh, something like that. It's in inhaling and exhaling. So that every time we breathe, we are speaking the name of God. The Prophet Muhammad is quoted as saying, let him groan, For groaning is one of the names of God in which the sick man may find relief. Over the past few years and recently over Lent, I found myself groaning a lot. Mostly inwardly about First Peoples, colonization, reconciliation and healing of our history. Groaning is an expression of my knowing that sometimes there are simply no words that can adequately express heaviness, anguish, and collective ache and longing for our world. Groaning is one of the names of God. So Paul tells us creation is groaning in labor pains even until now. And the Spirit does our praying in us and for us, making prayer out of the wordless sighs, our aching groans. These days I hear myself groaning every time Reconciliation Sunday comes around, or over an argument about Australia Day or Invasion Day, or about Black Lives Matter, or even racist taunts in sport. I groan this year because I've learnt more about dispossession, genocide, frontier wars in our own country, the stolen generation, the Uluru Statement from the Heart, politics behind terra nullis, that is, of inhabitation. I've learnt more about half-truths and the silence of the real history of our nation and the unheard voice, because you don't exist or you don't matter. St. Paul writes, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the very Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words." The Spirit helps us in our weakness. In our weakness of racism and injustice, the Spirit intercedes, and that is powerful. I'm reminded of the verse from Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, that says, "Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Reconciliation is a spiritual issue, as it is a political and social issue. People of faith and spirituality need to listen to the Spirit and to First Peoples, to our tradition and our history, and groan with the Spirit. To walk and to listen together about culture, spirituality, beliefs, and to work with the reconciling God in Christ and in Christ's ways, to bring restoration, healing, justice, and peace. For verse 28 of Romans 8 says, "We know that all things work together for good." So may we notice and pay attention to our groaning, and know the Holy One is very near, praying always in us and through us. So may we groan together as we work together, pray together, walk together, and listen together. Let's join together in prayer. In the name of reconciliation and hope, we hope for a better day and a better tomorrow. We acknowledge the pain of the past as well as the hurt and frustration of many Aboriginal sisters and brothers in the present. We take time to notice and understand the injustice. But with hope, we look towards more positive things to come as we continue on the journey into reconciliation. Help us to own our part in the story. May we never be complacent about the need to work for justice. God, give us the courage to act in ways that we can work together for change and improvement. There is so much to be done, and there are big obstacles that seem to be in the way. Inspire us to think creatively that we might find ways to right wrongs and lay strong foundations for a hopeful future. Help us to work together to make our contributions for improvement. I pray this in the name of the Reconciling One. Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, and to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins, they shall raise up the former devastations, and shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Craig. What's one thing you want non-Indigenous Christians to know? What one thing would you want non-Indigenous Christians to know? That's a question that has been put on a video and put to some people. And Bella Ann Sanchez asked five Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Christians, Ray Minicon, Ellie Davidson, Bishop Chris McLeod, Alison Overeem, and Jatham Studinger. We're going to watch video of their responses to those questions in a moment. But some questions that are raised in these responses are: what does it mean to be authentically Christian in a post-colonial era? What are your idols? What are our idols? Wealth, power, and control, and how might we release them? How are we educating ourselves about the history of Australia? how or where can we see the Spirit of God bringing reconciliation? Have you ever kept quiet or responded helpfully when a racist taunt is made? How do we create a united future between first and second Christian peoples? Let's hear from these five speakers this morning.
My name is Pastor Ray Minicon. I'm from the Cubby Cubby people on my father's side and the Goring Goring people on my mother's side. And my grandfather was taken from Ambrim Island in Vanuatu as a part of the Queensland slave trade back in the 18th century. One of the things that we have undergone over the last, I'd say, 20-odd years as Indigenous Christians, we asked ourselves the question, what does it mean to be authentically Indigenous and authentically Christian? And we've examined ourselves in the light of Scripture and the light of history, and we've come to our own understandings of that. But now I think it's time for us to ask the Western Church, the White Church, you know, what does it mean to be authentically Christian and authentically white? Because when we look at the Western Church, we see so much issues and problems and challenges that they're not facing up to. I think one of those challenges, as we look through Scripture, is the challenge of idolatry. Because we've been hit with this one as well, but now we're asking the White Church, what are your idols? And we think that there's three that you could look at straight away. One is the idol of wealth, another idol of power, and another idol of control. You seem to hold those three idols very strongly, and you're not being able to give release to those idols. Because if you did give release, you'd have a much more understanding of what it means to be authentically Christian and authentically followers of Jesus through your own cultural lens. So you've got a long way to go, and I hope and pray that the Western Church in this country, all denominations, all white ministers, will take seriously that incredible challenge to ask yourselves that question. And perhaps out of those dialogues and those discussions, we can see how the message or the ministry of reconciliation will take place here in this country, which is God's dream and our dream.
My name is Ellie Davidson. I'm a Balangara woman from the East Kimberley. However, I have really strong ties to the Arakul Bundjalung people of Byron Bay, which I've spent most of my time growing up. I'm currently an Aboriginal planning lecturer and a PhD candidate with the University of Sydney, and have my own consulting business called Zion Engagement and Planning. One thing that I'd really like to share with my non-Aboriginal brothers and sisters at the church is that now is a really important time for us to be learning and educating ourselves. I think that there's such interest and intent in wanting to do and help and, you know, make a difference. But I think that right now it's really important for people to be educating themselves. Unfortunately, the education system here in Australia has really failed us as Australians. As an Aboriginal person doing all of my schooling here, there was very limited content when it came to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, histories, context. And I think it was really damaging for me as an Aboriginal person to not be seen or heard or acknowledged within my school education. So unfortunately, it's now a time that as individuals, as adults, we have to take it upon ourselves to learn and to engage and to have conversations relating to the history of this country. It is dark and it's confronting, and the idea of sovereignty and terra nullius and the stolen generations and really sensitive topics are things that a lot of Australians shy away from. They don't really want to talk about or learn about it because they feel that it's quite confronting and they don't really know how to sit in those feelings. And I think that it's really important for us to be taking on that challenge of sitting in those feelings and being a bit uncomfortable and learning and growing in our knowledge and awareness of the history of this country. This is not Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people's history. This is all Australians' history, and it's the context of where we find ourselves today. It's like the elephant in the room. And I really feel that God will command a blessing through the unity that is brought when we decide to engage in these conversations. And I feel that it's each individual's responsibility to really learn, engage, open up, read, talk, listen, watch. There's so many great resources out there, and I think that that's going to create a really strong foundation for the Church of Jesus Christ to stand up and to stand next to and to unite in this country moving forward and the healing process that the Holy Spirit wants to bring.
I'm Chris McLeod. I'm the National Aboriginal Bishop for Australia. I am an Aboriginal man of Gurindji descent. My mother, Margaret, was a member of the Stolen Generations. She was removed from her mother when she was just a young child. She was placed in an orphanage and then eventually brought down to Adelaide. My grandmother, Margaret's mother, Dolly, was also Stolen Generation, a Gurindji woman placed in a home in Darwin and sadly died when she was only in her 20s. We in the church have a blindness to our own racism in the church. I think often the church has been well-meaning and has made decisions for and about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. But I think the real issues are listening to what we have to say. And I think that's the issues around Black Lives Matter as well. It is listening to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and people of colour around the world saying, here are the issues we face on a daily basis. Listen to us. So most people are not aware that they're viewing Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islander people and other people of colour through what I would call the lens of whiteness. Everything that comes from white society is regarded as being normal and right. And so it's unable to see when there is racism. The average person in church can actually say quite a lot. One, by being aware of systemic racism in our own lives. And two, confronting racism when we hear it. I think we've all been in context where somebody has said something racist. And we've often just kept quiet. Well, I'd like to see, you know, the average person in the church just say, hang on, no. You know, I'm not going to listen to that. And here are the reasons why.
My name's Alison Overeem. I'm a proud Palawa woman from the southeast nation of Litchabilla, Tasmania. One piece of advice to Second Peoples Christians. That's been the question posed. Oh, I have pondered this deeply and welcome the opportunity to share. The Creator, ever present in the land, in the sea and in the sky, before 1788, present on Milatina Nini, Mother Earth, present in the weaving of and connection to people, place, culture and practices. What are these stories? What are these struggles? What is this resilience? What stories sit on and with country that we walk on and work on? My advice is to truly dig deep, with deep listening, learning and unlearning, to connect to these stories, to see them as a gift to our faith as disciples of justice, not just for a moment, but for a forever time, in our theological and spiritual reflection and connection, in a way that upholds the depths of the oldest living culture on earth, the sense of community, of connection, and of a pathway of our faith for cultural justice. Know these stories, know these people, know and feel the place and the faith that sits in it. Aboriginal ways of knowing and being are connecting to story. That's my advice. Let that be a gift to you as a Christian of the Creator of cultural justice. And let those stories sit in the taquila of your faith. We at Uniting Aboriginal Islander Christian Congress Tasmania open the doors to these stories. Immerse yourself in them. Listen to them as you travel these lands, like this in Tasmania and across Australia. That will build your faith as Second Peoples. Tunapri, tunapri, tunapri. To know, to know, to know stories. Thank you.
My name's Jacob Stordinger. I'm the creative pastor for Hillsong Darwin up in the Northern Territory. And my family are actually based back in Queensland. And on my grandmother's side, I come from the Darumbal people. And on my grandfather's side, I come from the Wadja Wadja people. I just feel that now is the best time for all of us to learn more about our First Nations history. Yes, to understand the reason why people are upset and the reason why people are fighting for change, but also so that we can use that understanding to actually work together to create good and to create a unified future. There's definitely pain in the ugliness of the past, and there's definitely pain in the present, but from my experience, from both being of Indigenous growing up in Queensland and also spending the last 10 years up here in the Northern Territory, even out in Indigenous communities for a few years, is that there is also beauty, there is strength, and there is also inspiration through all of it within the stories of those who have fought for change and for good. I just would love to encourage all of us to actually not be afraid, and let's just learn about our history, because beauty, strength and inspiration can actually be what details and thrives in our future if we choose to actually play a part in it, whether it's small or large in seeking change. I definitely feel that all of us, we can be a part of a good future, a future that is unified. And there is so much out there for us to learn. I mean, I just want to encourage everyone, let's not actually be afraid to learn about the history. Let's not be afraid to learn about the pain and the ugliness, but also be inspired that there is beauty and there is strength and there is so much good to actually be learnt in the history of our First Nations people. And hopefully, yeah, we can definitely use that to help build a good, unified future.
Also, I'd like to draw your attention to the note in the newsletter. There is a link in the newsletter to take you to a TED talk. They're brief talks online. And this one is particularly about the presentation of the Uluru Statement of the Heart, from the heart, and by one of the authors, co-writers that was present, and he presents in a very engaging way. I'd encourage you to have a look at that sometime. And also encourage us to continue to work for reconciliation, and you know, in practical ways, like the bishop said something about, no, the racist comments are stopping here, or I'm not going to listen to that, or I'm going to interrupt and make a change. May we continue to be the uniting church that unites people in all things, including reconciliation, hope and justice. And we pray that Christ, that Jesus might be our light that will help us to shine in our world and to shine the light of Christ in all things. So let us sing that song this morning, Christ Be Our Light.
Creator God, receive these gifts placed in the offering bowl and those made online as we respond to your loving care and mercy in Jesus. May they bring about your healing and peace across all creation. May they feed the hungry, heal the sick, and welcome the stranger and work for justice and reconciliation in this land. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now our prayers for others. Gracious God, We acknowledge that there is not one type of Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander person, but many. We lament the commonality that all First Peoples of this land share, that sovereignty has never been ceded. Since time immemorial, long before the arrival of Second Peoples, First Peoples cared for and lived in harmony with this land. First Peoples knew the land on their country deeply. You guided First Peoples spiritually on their land. They became the custodians of cultures, creation stories and song lines. You guided the gifts of cultural customs, languages and law. You selected the preceding generations of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander persons to carry on their ancient ancestral bloodlines, instilling continued pride in cultures despite the degradation of the past.
We lament the many hardships caused by colonisation and the intergenerational trauma that continues today. O God, we mourn the ancient and sacred sites destroyed for financial profit and greed. And we pray for those who have protested and advocated in many matters of social justice for First Peoples. And merciful God, we grieve over the overrepresentation of First Peoples in the prison systems. They are not statistics. They are mums and dads, brothers and sisters, cousins, uncles and aunties, nephews and nieces, sons and daughters. They are part of the ancient kinship system. Yet so many exist, languishing due to ongoing systemic failures. We pray for politicians and policy makers. May they truly hear the many voices of First Peoples and avoid tokenistic gestures. Please help them to implement policies for self-determination.
Lord, hear our prayers for continued strength for First Peoples, for hope and improved opportunities, for not just equality, but equity as well, to close gaps of disadvantage in culturally appropriate ways. Lord, we pray that truth-telling continues in our communities, in our schools, our workplaces, and in our churches. We pray, Lord, for our allies, those who stand in solidarity with First Peoples. We pray for those whose hearts are still to be open to the truth-telling of this land. We pray for guidance from your Son, Jesus, to be truly reconciled in him. We pray in the power of the Holy Spirit that as First and Second Peoples, we can work together towards true reconciliation on this land. Amen. Now I'd like to sing Praise the Spirit in Creation, Breath of God, Life's Origin.
Most compassionate.
May our footsteps on these ancient lands remind us of creation and connectedness in our search for truth. May the gum tree, from its roots to its branches, remind us to dig deep and reach high in our actions for justice. May the eagle, who soars in the sky, remind us of the power in our call for love. May the expanse of the land and seas, of sky and stars, remind us of God's timing in faith and hope. May the Holy Three, Creator, Spirit, Lord God, Papa Jesus, remind us of community. So we go out into the world in the power of the Spirit, in all things and in all times. Remember that Christ is with you. Make your life your worship in the praise and glory of God, source, truth, and inspiration.
Amen.
As we leave this morning, you might like to share the passing of the peace with each other with a praying hands, a nod, a gesture as we leave through the eastern door and through the back while we wait for the cameras to move out of the way. And again, I remind us of social distancing where possible over morning tea. Amen. Peace be with you.